Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's M-O-O-D.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's M-O-O-D.com to get started.
Warning: 30 screens or less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Hokum. It's written and directed by Damian McCarthy, starring Adam Scott as Om Bauman, Peter Coonan as Mal, David Wilmot as Jerry, and Florence Ordesh as Fiona. The plot of the movie is when Om Bauman, a horror novelist, retreats to a remote Irish inn to scatter his parents' ashes, he is consumed by tales of a witch haunting the honeymoon suite. Disturbing visions and a shocking disappearance force him to confront the dark corners of his past. But first, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard, an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh yeah, beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com, use code 30screams10, get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Hokum?
I was completely blown away by this.
Really?
There wasn't a single moment where I felt bored or checked out. And I know a lot of people did, but I was glued. From the very first scene, the film pulls you into a world filled with dread. And as it unfolds, trauma as well. What impressed me most is how effortlessly it keeps you invested without ever letting up on the tension. And can we talk about Adam Scott for a second?
Sure.
This man absolutely crushes it, keeps getting better. And at this point, I genuinely think he's one of the best actors working today. An incredible performance in an incredible film.
He is a great actor. I will say that. And it's funny seeing him come from like
Parks more and Rec.
Parks and Rec for sure. But also seeing him in like Step Brothers as Derek the brother. And like, that's how I got my first glimpse of him, was from that. So like, he always had that kind of a comedic element to him. But he has branched out into all sorts of different things. So, I mean, he was in Severance, which I tried watching some of it. I couldn't get into it. It felt too real to me. So I'm like, I don't know if I can watch this. But his performance in it was actually pretty good. I just think the overall story wasn't for me. But yeah, I thought he was great in this. The movie as a whole, though, I was like, it didn't do it for me. So maybe I'm with the rest of the audience thinking like, it was fine. But you, on the other hand, it sounded like you are really raving about it.
So back to Adam Scott. I feel like this guy is like working nonstop. He's in like everything.
He is in a lot of stuff, yeah.
Did you watch The Studio?
No, I didn't.
So,
how is that?
It's incredible. I love that show. And I'm typically not really a fan of anything Seth Rogen does, but Adam Scott's in it.
Oh, wait, I'm a fucking dum-dum. Yes, I did watch that. That show is fucking great.
Yeah.
I love that show.
I actually listened to a podcast recently. What's her face? Catherine Hahn was on it, and she was talking about The Studio.
Yep.
I mean, they were just in the middle of filming the second season, and then Catherine O'Hara passed away. So, I mean, that's a big deal. They kind of have to figure out how to get around her character. I don't know how they're going to do it, because she was a big part of the story.
I think they'll do something probably like she died
hologram?
Off. No, hologram
like
would actually
hologram?
Be kind of funny. Actually, you know what? Hollywood-wise, that would make absolute sense. to have Catherine O'Hara as a hologram in the show. But I think you would actually need her alive to do the hologram stuff. So what they'll probably do is probably the same deal as in Silicon Valley, right? Where the main investor there, he died. And then another person took over and who was very similar and had the same kind of quirks as him. So I think
just
maybe
recast.
They'll just recast it in a certain way. Or maybe just like someone that's taking over her. What's the word I want to use? It's like when you take over a trust or you like a subsidiary. I don't know. Something like that where someone will just take over in her death type deal. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
We'll see. I hope not. That character needs to be. Maybe though she died in the show. I don't know. They can't go on without her. I was watching an interview with Dan Levy recently too. And somebody asked him if he would ever consider continuing the story of Schitt's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I can't do it now. Not without her.
No. Nope.
It's impossible.
She was a part of that.
She was a big part of that show, obviously, as Moira. But she was a different kind of actress.
Mm-hmm. She really was. One of a kind.
I mean, Macaulay Culkin grew up calling her his mom.
Yeah, which probably for a good reason. I think he had kind of a rough upbringing with him being in like... being a star and his parents fucking taking all of his money and shit like that. Kind of a raw deal there. I think a lot of child actors go through that same shit where parents are just taking their money and fucking profiting off them, which really fucking sucks. He's not the only one, though. There's been plenty. There's who was the other fucking guy who actually died of a drug overdose? Fuck, what is his name?
What are you talking about? A lot of people died of drug overdoses.
Yeah, fair enough. No, but he was like a child star musician. His family took like basically all of his money. And I want to say Nick Lachey? No.
Aaron Carter.
Thank you, because there's Nick Carter. Aaron Carter, yes. Aaron Carter, like his family took all of his money and he was making a shit ton being on the road and all that. So same deal. Yeah, he had to fucking put up with that shit. And, you know, obviously he's not around anymore. So his family probably made out like bandits and probably maybe still profiting off him after death, because that happens.
For sure.
When musicians die or actors die, those residuals, they got to go somewhere. So they'll probably just go to like next of kin or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, like, back to my original point, like, Adam Scott is in absolutely everything right now. And like you said, I'm glad he's branching out because he's done dramas, he's done comedies. I don't think he's ever done a horror movie.
Holcomb
is like, there's been some big horror movies in 2026.
Yeah.
This was one of them. We just reviewed Undertone.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do, whenever we can, Obsession.
Oh, God, yeah.
Iron Lung is another one I really want to watch.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. I haven't
seen... But these are all movies made by YouTubers.
Really? Holcomb's made by a YouTuber?
I don't know if Holcomb is, but I'm just
saying. That would be crazy. I know that Obsession is in the Backrooms. Is that another one that was made by a YouTuber?
Backrooms, yes. That's another one.
Yeah, which I hear good things about as well. It looks fucked up. I mean, what was it? Someone mentioned it's like Skinamarink or something, but just better. Because it's like fucking just a bunch of empty rooms and shit.
Well, anything is better than Skinamarink, so.
Yeah, I mean, me pooping in my hand and rubbing it on a camera is better than Skinamarink. Okay, that's far. That is really far.
Damn.
I really just don't like really that feel. Movie. I don't like that movie. I watched it once, and I sat there and went, what is this fucking artsy shit?
Yeah, it's boring as fuck.
It is so boring.
And it did get, like, pretty good reviews.
For right? What?
But critics' opinions don't matter. Ours do.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's not like we're critics or anything like that.
No. I'm curious what Rotten Tomatoes gave.
Probably a butthole. Just like not even a fucking like a squished tomato or popcorn, nothing like that. Just someone's butthole. I don't like it. I just don't like it.
73%.
How is... Oh, I don't get it. I really don't. I don't get it. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Anyways.
I mean, art is subjective. I get it. But it is just like a silent movie with like a child's phone, couple kids running around the house with some grainy footage.
Yeah. No, it's no.
Not for me. Not scary. Not horror, in my opinion. It just like it's some art film, if we're looking at it as just an art film, okay, it's experimental. That's fine. But I wouldn't call it a horror. But
No,
not at all.
But like Holcomb, for example, I feel like the premise was like, so how it opens. It opens with, we're living a world that Ohm is writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this has to be something like foreshadowing or something for the rest of the movie. It really wasn't. It was just, you know, the only time we really see and the end.
Yeah.
We see this story that he's writing.
Well, it was kind of a bookend. So you had the start of it where he's kind of like this tortured artist. And there's a good reason for it. He accidentally killed his mom. So he's been struggling with that pretty much this whole time, you know, living in regret and didn't have a good upbringing with his father. So you'll see him later on, the way he dumps his dad's ashes is just like pretty fucked up. But his mom, yeah, just fuck it. Just emptying the ashtray, basically.
We're not there yet, but the way he finds out that he's responsible for his mother's death, that like creature with the bunny face, terrifying.
Yeah, that was terrifying. That fucking came out of nowhere. And yeah, I mean, the first glimpse we saw was him laying in this bed surrounded by chalk, because apparently chalk will stop witches. So good thing to do, everyone. If you have chalk around the house, it's going to keep crazy witches away from you. So we're good. I don't have any. I'm fucked. So, but he's laying in that bed, that witch's bed, we're going to call it witch's bed, in the fucking honeymoon suite. And this guy is just like, he goes up there looking for Fiona. We're jumping way ahead, by the way.
And hey, we've already been recording for 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Yeah, we're jumping way ahead. It's cool. So as he's laying there, he sees that bunny face, whatever. And then like the TV turns on at some point, and it's like a kid's show, and it's that bunny looking like something straight out of a fucking Rob Zombie movie, whatever. Like big eyes and just really creepy looking mask. And it's telling him that, yes, he was in, like, that he killed his mother and all this stuff. And he's blaming him for it. And all of that comes into the picture later on. But one of the big catalysts for this is he goes to Ireland. He dumps his parents' ashes. And he's staying at this nice inn in Ireland. And he decides to have a drink, goes up to his room, and fucking hangs himself. So they find him. Fiona finds him. Fiona's the, like, bartender of this whole place. And she's like, I have a bad feeling about this guy. Goes in the room. They see him hanging. I don't know how he is hanging, by the way. I didn't see, like, anything above him that could have, like, just held the rope up. Maybe he just fucking drilled into the ceiling or some shit. I must have missed it, but
I have to go back and watch that. Because yeah, now you say that, I don't. It was definitely, like, a noose.
Yeah, it was absolutely
a noose. What was it tied to?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What was it tied to? Maybe he had like just like a fucking drill, right? And he's just drilling it to the ceiling and just fucking getting that shit all set up. And then we're playing Hangman later on.
Movie magic, actually.
Movie magic, I guess. So he survives it. He ends up in the hospital. It's not going to be the only time he ends up in a hospital. But all that happens, he goes back to the inn. Now, Fiona's missing. So he's got this idea in his head that he's like, I have to find Fiona, and I think the honeymoon suite has something to do with it. But he meets that Jerry guy who's just hanging out in the woods, and they're blaming him for it.
This guy was like the best character in the whole movie.
He absolutely was.
But the fact that he like hands Ohm a bottle of clear liquid and Ohm just drinks it, like no like shot.
No fucking way. No. He's self-destructive because he's living with all that regret. He's a tortured artist. He puts the death of his mother into his writing. And the beginning, like I said, is kind of a bookend, because at the very end, they show the same thing. But the way he chose to write the story, to write the ending, was less bleak. That's what he's used to writing, is very bleak endings. He decided to go something a little bit more, I don't know, would you say melancholy as opposed to bleak? Because the father and son probably still die anyways, but they die together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like both a good and bad ending.
Yeah, it's not a happy ending. That's what we love.
Yeah, we don't love happy endings. Fuck that shit.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, if I want to watch happy endings, I'm going to watch a rom-com. Because those are all happy endings.
Yeah, where the couple ends up together at the end.
It's the same fucking thing over and over, just a different spice.
Yeah, no, I want him dead by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Hey, sometimes I need to watch a rom-com fucking just to relax and turn my brain off. And hey, I've mentioned this before.
You do love rom-coms.
I do. I don't know. I'm a romantic at heart, maybe. No, I don't think so. I'm fucking dead inside. Anyways.
At least you're honest.
I am honest.
At least you're honest with all two of our listeners.
Yeah, I know, right? So Jerry's the best character in this whole movie. Jerry is just this homeless guy that lives in a van in the woods, and turns out he actually killed his wife, but he killed his wife for a good reason, because she was suffering.
Just the way you said that. He killed his wife for a good reason. Don't edit that out.
I'm not planning on it. Like, I know, it just sounds fucking weird. I mean, it's not like she was a fucking bitch or anything like that. Oh, geez. Now, basically, I think she was dying of a terminal illness, so he basically put her out of her misery. I guess assisted suicide at that point. So he had to go on the run because, obviously, I don't think that's allowed in Ireland. So he's basically been living in the woods with knowing that he had to kill his wife just to make her happy. And the cops have been looking for him ever since, which this guy is just hiding in plain sight. You would think the cops would just drive by and go, oh, there's a van there. We should maybe check that out. Oh, hey, Jerry. Sorry, you going down to downtown?
No. They just leave him be in the woods.
Just let him do his thing. Let him fucking drink his mushroom shit.
Magic milk.
Oh, God, it is magic milk. You're right. Oh, so, yeah, so the magic milk, so fucking weird. It is mushrooms and goat's milk. It sounds like a fucking atrocity. I can't
say if you handed me a jar of milk and mushrooms that I would drink it.
No. Oh, God.
You know what? Fuck
no,
it.
I'm not fucking. What's that?
I said, fuck it. Give it to me.
You can drink all the goat's milk you want.
I like
I'm
goat's
good.
Milk.
I don't
goat
want
cheese.
It.
I like goat.
No. I'm not doing anything of that with a goat. You know, it's weird, though. It's like, I draw the line at goat, but cow, perfectly fine. So, I don't know why. You think I'd be like, yeah, it's meat. I'll fucking eat it.
Have you had it?
No, I haven't had it.
So, you can't say you don't like it.
I can say I don't like sheep.
You've eaten sheep?
Or
let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's MOOD.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to mood.com. That's MOOD.com to get started.
Yeah, whatever the fuck it is, right? Yeah, sheep.
You've eaten a sheep steak.
Yeah, something like that. Or it's like, is this something else? It's got to be sheep. Greek food. I'm looking up Greek food right now. Meat. Greek food, meat. Ah, no, I'm a dum-dum. Lamb. So.
Okay. Lamb is delicious.
I can't get into it. I've tried it.
It's just like gamey, right? You think it's too gamey?
Yeah, it was a little gamey, and it didn't really have a lot of flavor to me. Or maybe it's the way the place made it. It's like a Greek food. They use like this kind of red sauce with rice and stuff, which I'm sure you would love. But for me, I tried it, and I'm like, not for me.
Yeah, your food choices are boring.
Hey, I like American fucking burgers, hot logs, steak. Actually, I love Italian food, to be honest. That's like my go-to.
I want to try haggis.
Haggis? Well, you can go to Ireland for that shit, right?
I think so. Or Scotland?
Oh, actually, that's Scottish. You're right. That's a Scottish dish, right? Haggis. I don't know. If someone is from Scotland, let's see.
Scottish.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Savory pudding containing sheep's pluck, heart, liver, lungs, minced with chopped onion, oatmeal, suet, seasonings, and salt, mixed with stock, and cooked traditionally while encased in the animal's stomach.
What the fuck is that? No, I'm good.
I want it.
Oh, you would want it. I mean, you've eaten some weird shit. You've eaten whale, right? Oh, shit. Actually, no, we shouldn't talk about that. PETA's going to have a fucking field day.
Hey, we'll take the publicity.
Yeah, I guess.
Talk to our lawyers.
We don't have lawyers.
Yeah, whale. It's good.
Yeah, well, you went to a place that actually serves it. It was Sweden, right?
Iceland.
Sorry about that. Yeah, you went to Iceland.
Surf and turf.
Yeah, surf and turf. It's not like, you know, you were out there just randomly eating some backlot whale type deal.
So,
like,
no,
not ordering it from, like, the black market or anything like that. You're actually at a restaurant where they surf it.
It was whale and horse.
Whale and horse. Wow. Okay.
And sweet potato, like tater tots.
Sweet potato is where I draw the fucking line. I cannot do sweet potato.
That's what got you.
That's what gets me. I cannot do sweet potato. We
I love
how
everything
podcast.
I just said, you said sweet potato is where you draw the line.
I fucking hate sweet potato. I got sick off it once. I'm like, nope, never again. I'm good.
That's fair.
Yeah, you ever have a food that you get sick off of and now you just can't eat it ever again?
Not a food, but an alcohol, specific alcohol, like Fireball whiskey.
Okay.
I even smell a Fireball candy and I puke. Like I want to puke.
Yeah. Same thing for me with
cinnamon.
Yeah, exactly. It's that cinnamon. Same thing for me with sweet potato. I just can't do it. I get sick right away and I'm like, forget it. It's not for me. Same with bananas. I know you like bananas.
Oh, I love bananas. Yeah.
Yeah. You can have all the bananas. So
I'll give you a banana.
So just, we're just a horror movie podcast. Follow us on fucking YouTube to look at any other video. We're supposed to be reviewing a movie right now. So, okay, Jerry's the best character in this movie. I almost thought at first he was just going to be like a fucking random guy, like random crazy guy in the woods. You don't think much of it and you move on. But he turned into like a really pivotal character who I thought was going to be the hero of this whole fucking thing. But rest in peace.
He got.
Yeah, he got with a fucking arrow to the head. Like brutal. But the whole
Mal
idea.
Mal brained him with his baby crossbow.
Yeah, with a baby
was
crossbow.
Was it Mal or Mal?
Mal. Yeah, M-A-L. Like Maul, like Darth Maul, or they call him Mal. I don't know. Actually, I was having a hard time differentiating whether we're calling him Mel or Maul. So there's one thing I did want to talk about. And I know that there's troubled artists and things like that, but man, Ohm was a dick.
He's like a bitter old man.
He is like a bitter old man. He's burning the help at the inn just because he doesn't want to be annoyed. And he's just shitting on everyone. This guy, he's a real asshole. He's like kind of one of those self-loathing types.
Yeah.
And hey, I mean, when you're like self-loathing, you're kind of like that. You know, you're just pissed off and you don't want to deal with fucking anything.
Mm.
But he was pretty much a dick the whole entire time. And I had a hard time relating to him as a character because of it. Obviously, I was never in his position where my mother was shot in the face, but I didn't like him as a character. I did not like him. But,
and you know what? Adam Scott did his job.
He did do his job. He was the one that was
pretending. The heel. Perfect.
Yeah, he was playing the heel the whole entire time. And it helped, though, because at the end, you saw a little chip in the armor there. Instead of like that whole bleak ending to his story, he had like a not as bleak ending. So it's almost like after this whole experience that he went through, he's starting to have like a new lease on life type deal.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he had to go through all this fucking craziness just to like become a better person, which, okay, sure. But yeah, man, I thought he was a dick the whole movie. And you're right. Adam Scott pulled it off really well, made us really not like him as a character. But he started, I think, becoming like a better person throughout this whole ordeal he was going through with dealing with the witch and stuff. And he was really like trying to find Fiona because Fiona went missing and he thinks that the honeymoon suite has something to do with it because she mentioned about wanting to go up to the honeymoon suite. Now, he finds his way up there because he managed to get a key from Jerry. Jerry got nabbed, by the way, by, I think it was Mal. Mm-hmm. Mal got him out of there. But he got a key, he went up to the room, and he finds Fiona in a dumbwaiter.
Oh, she got got.
Yeah, she got got. And oh, that's not even the worst part, man. She was pregnant. She was pregnant with Mal's kid. And Mal was like so afraid of his like father-in-law because he's married. So obviously he was cheating on his wife with Fiona and managed to get Fiona pregnant. So Fiona's dressed up as a bunny because there's like Halloween festivities happening. So she's dressed up as a bunny and Mal comes by, gives her a drink, and you can tell he drugged her because she's like out of it. She's seeing double just off one drink. And he brings her upstairs to the honeymoon suite and he puts her in the fucking dumbwaiter. And so as Ohm is trying to find her, he goes up into the honeymoon suite where he basically activates the dumbwaiter and there she is, dead. But she actually had Ohm's recorder. So she was recording the whole thing about her being trapped down there and about how she was pregnant and things like that. And then obviously DED dead, rest in peace, Fiona. But now this is his opportunity to kind of use that dumbwaiter and go downstairs and see what the fuck's happening. So he goes downstairs and he encounters the witch. And the way this encounter happens, I will say this was fucking terrifying looking. because it is like faint in the dark, you know, when you're like, you're not sure if it's a person or if it's just your mind playing tricks on you. But yeah, then you see her just starting to come at him and he's like, nope, going up to the fucking upstairs or the dumbwaiter. But you see her fucking climbing up and he's like, nope, let's close that fucking door. But she still made it through that dumbwaiter. And this is where I was mentioning before, where he was laying in the bed, but he used chalk around the bed to make a circle so she couldn't enter, which comes into play later where I'm a little confused with. So I think I'm just going to jump ahead real quick. So when he's downstairs, he's actually chained up, but he managed to draw a circle around him using chalk. But Maul is downstairs as well in this basement. And the witch is pulling Maul to this fucking room where there's like a bunch of demons.
Yeah, he gets cooked right here.
Oh yeah, big time cooked. But
good, fuck him.
Yeah, it's a small little hallway, right? And he draws this circle, this chalk circle. And my thought is, if you draw that chalk circle, aren't you supposed to be safe from the witch? But we just saw her walk through it, but just walk past him. So I was under the impression that witches can't pass it at all. Like, they are just dead ass stopped in their place. If anything, he would just be sitting there and she'd be like, listen, can you move the fuck out of the way? I'm trying to get this guy to the demons.
I don't know. I took it as like the witch can pass through it, but can't hurt anyone inside of it.
See, I was kind of thinking that too, that maybe it's more to protect him as opposed to not allowing the witch to pass at all.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just like a shield as opposed to a full stop to coming close to him. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's not like a fucking tube that just like a, you know, an invisible tube that just gets created. And she's like, I have to fucking squeeze by. Excuse me. So maybe that's the thing. But he still managed to get pulled. He was starting to get his ass pulled to like the demons as well, but managed to get out of the chains and fucking, you know, got the hell out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Maul, by the way, Maul is a fucking psychopath.
Well,
obviously,
yeah.
Maul, like, he was doing everything in his power to make sure that his wife and father-in-law do not know of his infidelity, to the point where he's setting this in ablaze right now. And yeah, like, obviously they find Jerry, they find Fiona, they couldn't find Maul because Maul is with the demons or something like that. But then we see this final scene where Ohm is in the hospital and he's like, he's actually writing. So he's like, he's feeling a little bit better. The bellboy comes in and gives him a bottle from the people at the inn as kind of a thank you for saving. Or as like an appreciation, whatever.
And Ohm's not interested. Do you think this was him kind of realizing that he's been a dick the whole time?
Yes. I think this is him realizing that he's going to turn a new leaf. He's cutting out drinking and he's going to start being nicer to people, because initially that bellhop, I'll call him bellhop. I think he had a pretty interesting name though. I think it starts with an A.
Albie.
Yes. Albie with a V.
Albie with a V.
Okay. Albie. Albie was a pretty good character. I'll be damned. So Albie was like the bellhop, and earlier in the film, Ohm burned him with a spoon that was just hanging out. Yeah, because he didn't want to be bothered. He's like, read the room type deal. Pretty fucked up.
He cooked a fucking spoon inside of a pumpkin? Like centerpiece, table centerpiece?
Yeah, something like that. It had like a flame in it. And so he just burned him with the spoon. Like, oh, you just need to read the room. And, you know, he didn't want to be bothered because Albie was just trying to see if like he can get an autograph or have him read a few pages of what he's trying to write. And Ohm was just a dick to him the whole time. But then when Ohm's in the hospital, he basically quits drinking. He's writing his book and he says to Albie, like, bring what you have tomorrow and I'll take a look. And obviously that makes Albie feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we see that different type of ending that we were expecting for the story he was writing. We were fully expecting that father to unalive that child by just hitting a bottle over his head.
Yeah.
But it ended
then
up...
they swapped roles.
Yeah, then they swapped roles and the child couldn't do it either. And then they both just embraced. I did like the fact, though, that the child threw the bottle and right next to the bottle was a skull that they probably could have used to smash that bottle open. But still a semi-bleak ending. They probably died in the desert and that was it. But end scene, fade to black. I think we should just get into it at this point. Corey, What did you think of Hokum?
So I feel like I've been doing every movie we've been watching lately is this way, but I'm going a 5 out of 5.
You slut. 5 out of 5 slut.
Yeah, just handing them out.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for this movie to lose me, and it never did. Every scene felt purposeful. Every moment added to the tension, and the atmosphere was absolutely suffocating. The use of silence, again, is so effective that you start dreading every sound that eventually does happen. Add in some genuinely dark cinematography, and you've got a movie that constantly keeps you uncomfortable. This is one of the most talked about horror films of 2026, and after watching it, I completely understand why.
Okay. Now, for me, I'm going to go with a 4 out of 5 on this. It was fine, but nothing really to go home and rave about, in my opinion. The lore the man was telling the kids towards the beginning of the movie, which we didn't talk about in this review, was actually about the witch that he locked away. The acting was good. Nothing felt hokey or anything like that. So everyone did their part. And I found myself loving Jerry's character, as there was a lot of layers to Jerry. I thought there was so much going on with him that he was really a pivotal part of this story. Om was your typical tortured artist who was pretty much a dick the whole time and finally lightened up a little bit in the end with Albie, where he turns away the bottle gift, insinuating that he's turning kind of a new leaf. The score was good. I liked that it took place in Ireland. I went to Ireland once. It was fun. I had a good time there. Danced with a beautiful girl on stage. Committed a bit. All that good stuff. I did an Irish jig on stage. Oh, no, not an Irish jig. I did step dancing on stage. So a little bit different. Yeah. So that was interesting. I'm not posting a video of that on here.
Well, now you kind of have to.
I ain't doing that shit.
Imagine the views.
Imagine the views of, like, you know, a horror podcaster just doing fucking Irish step dancing on stage. No. So, you know, I'd say worth a watch. Just know I probably won't go and watch it again. But if you want to see Hokum, you can watch it now on VOD. All right, everyone, help out our algorithm by liking, following, and subscribing to us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, YouTube, and Slasher. Yes, all of them. No, we're not sorry.
Leave us a 5-star review on every podcast platform you use so strangers can also regret listening to us. Tell your friends, too, because misery loves company.
Our intro and outro music is courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Go listen to him on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to buy it immediately like a responsible adult.
We're part of the Shining Wizards Network. Wrestling, heavy metal, horror, basically everything your parents warned you about. Go check them out at shiningwizardsnetwork.com.
Visit 30screamsorless.com to buy some merch.
Want us to review something? Contact us through our website or scream into the void on social media. Same difference.
Also, freshen up your face with Beard Octane and save some money while you're at it. Be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout to save 10% off your order, because your beard deserves better than neglect and regret. Smell good, look alive, and scare people for the right reasons. I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.